to start the end of the parasha. Va'ato va'avodecho yadati, and you and your servants know, ki terem tirun bepnei Hashem elekecho. This is the only time, this is the second time really in the Torah, that uses the lashon of Hashem elekecho. We see it in Bereishis also, when Hashem made the heaven and earth, it uses also the lashon of Hashem elekim, and here it uses that lashon. Hashem is rachmim, elekim is din. What's the pshat over here that he uses both din and rachmim in the Makav Borod? So Marashdam, Shal Rav brings down, says, pshat is, that the Borod was an interesting Makav. That the Makav did not wipe everything out. It says the wheat and the spelt were not destroyed because they weren't yet ripe. So they would bend when they were hit. Only the flax and the barley, which were already ripe, only they were hit by the borod. So we see that over here there was rachmim, at the same time there was din. Not everything was wiped out. There were things that were spared. Why is that? How come in this makkah there was rachmim at the same time of din? The whole point of the makkah was din. So he explains, because by borod, something special took place. The Pasuk tells us, Hayori es Devar Hashem, those that feared Hashem, took their animals inside. So there was people who were demonstrating their belief in Hashem, their fear of Hashem. Doing that gave them a schus, and that schus created some rachamim in this makkah. So I saw this mahalach, but I was thinking to myself that not everybody learns like that. I've seen in next week's parasha, there's Bar Yosef says a pshat. In the beginning of Boy says, Leman tesaper ba'oz de bincho. You should tell in the ears of your sons, Eis asher salalti Mitzrayim, how I mocked Mitzrayim. I made litzonos of them. I made jokes of them. Where do you see mockery at Mitzrayim? There's making litzonos with Mitzrayim. Where do we see that in the Makkah of Arbe? So he explains pshat is, that they just had a makkah borod. Borod was over, Mitzrayim thought, wow, he thinks he got us? We only got half the produce. There's plenty of things that survived. There were things that survived, and therefore, we're not bothered about it at all. We won, he lost, big deal. So we lost out something. We still have stuff. So Rabbi Shalom built them up, and sometimes you build up somebody, and then it's just to bring him down again. Right after that, they get the makkah of Arbe. That was a makkah of them. You think you survived. Now the Arbe came and wiped out everything else. So that was the mockery in Makkah's Arbe. According to this pshat, the fact that things survived wasn't rachmim at all. Forget. The whole point of it was to make it even more difficult for them later on. The Pasuk, Perek Vav, Pasuk Hei says, V'gam ani shamati esna'akas b'nei Yisrael. Also, I have heard the cries of Klal Yisrael. The lashon of the pasuk is difficult to understand. What is v'gam ani shamati? Also, I have heard. What is the gam also? So, as the person was doing poorly in business, and he came to the Chasam Sofer for a bracha. Chasam Sofer looked at him, and he said to him, "V'gam ani shamaiti." Also, I have heard this pasuk. He used that language, "V'gam ani shamaiti." I have also heard your brother is suffering tremendously, very poor. He has no income, and you refuse to help him. So he says to him, "Rebbe, I said I'm not doing well. I'm having a difficult time business. I have enough to worry about my own problems. I can't worry about my brother." The Chasam Sofer explained to him, pshat in this pasuk, "V'gam ani shamati." And it's interesting because there's a good story that goes with it, which certainly fits into the times, into this week. In the early 1900s, there was a family in the United States, the Strauss family, extremely wealthy family. They had millions of dollars already back then. You don't remember, but 10, 12 years ago, In Nanuet Mall, there was a store, Abraham and Strauss, and there were many of them all over the country, department stores, Abraham and Strauss. That was their name. They owned those stores. Even if you don't remember the name Abraham and Strauss, there's other stores they owned which you do know the name. That's Macy's. They were the owners of Macy's and many other department stores besides Macy's. And they gave a lot of charity in New York. A lot of things were built with their name on it. And they went on a world tour. On the world tour, they came to visit Eretz Yisrael. And there was two brothers who came, Isidore and Nathan. And Nathan was struck by the poverty there. He could not believe the poverty he saw. And so he went and he started giving out money there, wiring in money to set up soup kitchens there in Eretz Yisrael. It was time to move on to the next place, and his brother was going. They were going to England next, and he said he doesn't want to go. He wants to remain here. So his brother left, and he stayed there. And eventually went back to America. By the time he died, he gave away two-thirds of his money to charity. His brother went to England, and then he didn't arrive there in England. So his brother went back to America without him. They had tickets back. His brother went on the trip back. He didn't go. It was 1912. His brother went on the Titanic and died. Him and his wife both died on the Titanic. And this Yid was saved. This Nathan was saved, Nathan Strauss. And what saved him is he was caring for others, and the Rebbeinu Shlom took care of him. Many of you, of course, know in Eretz Yisrael. He's very famous because everybody knows Kikos Shabbos. They're one of the streets going off there is Rechav Strauss, and then you have a town called Netanya. Netanya is named after him, after Nathan Strauss, Natan Strauss. Says the Chasam Sofer Pshat in the Pasuk, V'gam ani shamaiti. The Klal Yisrael, when they were Mitzrayim, it was an Eitz Tzara, who was listening beside the Rebbein Shloim. Every Yid was worried about the other Jew. Every Yid cared about another Jew and took care of them. The gam, says Rabbi Sham, Klai Yisrael caring about each other, the gam ani shamati. I also hear their cries and will take care of them. And so he said to this Yid, if you don't worry about your brother's misfortune, how do you expect Rabbi Sham to take care of you? Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Bey says, Hein b'nei Yisrael lo yishomu elai. If Klai Yisrael didn't listen to me, Eich yishma paray. How can I expect paray to listen? And this is a Kal V'chaymah. Klal Yisrael not listening. Kal V'chaymah Pari won't listen. And all the Mepharshim ask is a Pirach on the Kal V'chaymah. There's a Kasha. The Pasuk says earlier, in Pasuk Tes, V'loy Shomel Moshe, Mikoytz Ruach, Moed Akasha. They didn't listen because they were so downtrodden, so weak. They have no koichas at all, short of breath. That's why they didn't listen. That reason that Klal Yisrael had that they didn't listen, Pari didn't have that reason. So you can't say a Kal V'chaymah, because Klai Yisrael didn't listen, Pari won't listen. The reason it applied to Klai Yisrael didn't apply to Pari. Rabbi Yisrael V'lozhin, in his Sefer Per Kodesh, Chaim V'lozhin's brother, he explains it with a mashal. A person is in jail, and a person comes to him, and he starts stammering and stuttering and hesitating, and he talks very unclearly. It's hard to make out what he's saying. But he hears something is telling him about getting out of jail. However difficult it is to understand what the man is saying, say it again, slow down. And he'll try and concentrate and focus and listen intently to make sure he understands what the man is saying, however difficult it is. Why? Just to hear that Besorah Tova. He'll have patience. But if the man goes to the governor to plead to let out somebody from jail, and the person starts stammering and stuttering, he's not going to listen to him. I haven't got patience for this person. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'loy Shomel Moshe, they didn't listen to me. They are Mikoytz Ruach Moed Akasha. They're the ones in jail. And they're not listening to me with my stammering, my stuttering. They haven't got the patience to listen to me. Eich Yishmalai Parai. How is Parai going to listen? He's not going to be interested to hear me. So it doesn't mean that they didn't listen because of their exhaustion. It means because with their exhaustion, they're not interested in hearing what I have to say because of my speaking skills. For sure, Paray is not going to listen to what I have to say. That's one pshat, he says. The other pshat is a very simple pshat. He says is, Moshe didn't know why Klai Yisrael didn't listen. Moshe thought Klai Yisrael didn't listen because of the way he spoke, because of his defect in his speech. So therefore he said, if Klai Yisrael don't listen to me, how much more so Paro won't listen to me. Of course, that wasn't the reason that Klai Yisrael didn't listen, but Moshe didn't know that. The Pasuk, Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, says, Vayas Kain, Aaron did what he had to do. Vayet Aaron es yodei b'mata. Aaron stretched out his hand with a stick. And the difficulty in this pasuk is, the pasuk begins, Vayasu Kain, and they did so. It should say, Vayas Kain, Aaron did. Moshe didn't do anything over here. Aaron stuck his hand out with a stick. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Yud Amud Beis says, greater is the one who gets others to give tzedakah than the person who himself gives tzedakah. A person goes around and mechazik people to give, collects from the people, encourages people to give tzedakah. He's even greater than the person actually giving the money. Moshe didn't hit the earth with his matter. He told Aaron to hit it. Yet it says, Vayasu Kain, they did it. Because they did it. With his dibur, him telling Aaron to hit the earth, he became a shutter for the action. It's as if they both did it. Moridik Yisoy, you see here, which I've said, told you many, many times, if you encourage other people to learn, the schus, the schar is unbelievable. A person, besides your learning, and you sit down to learn, you get schar for learning, but you start on time and you get your chavrus to learn with you, that's worth even more than your learning. That's what the Pasuk's telling us over here. When you come into davening, you come into shiran time, which again, we're going to have to be mechazik next time. It's the last time we're going to accept this today. But when a person comes to shiran time, it encourages other people to come on time. Every person coming late encourages other people to come late. It's no big deal. I see six other people came late. It's an opportunity. It's the easiest schar to get is to get other people. And not only that, you can get the schar of six people, of 10 people. You come in time to davening. You daven. You don't talk in davening. People learn from you. That is the greatest schar. The Makkah of Dom is very interesting. And I found three different Mahalchim to understand what the Makkah was. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin, says that Moshe struck the water, well, Aaron really struck the water, the nevcha l'dam, it turned to blood. The hadaga asher b'yo'er meso, and the fish in the river died. Ovash hayo'er, and there's a terrible smell from the river. The Sipporna says, Loi sishoir boy tsuris amayim im baris dam. Don't think it just was an optical illusion. It looked like dam. It was red like dam, but it wasn't actually blood. Avol tiyah boy tsuris adam. It was a metzias of blood. Bats musoi of marisoi. It was actual blood. And he says, that is why the pasuk tells us the fish died. Why does it tell us that? It wants to tell us, by seeing the fish died, why did they die? If it was water, just the color of blood, the fish wouldn't have died. The Pasuk is telling us to show us that the dam was real blood, and therefore the fish couldn't survive. That's the Sopranos Mahalach, and he tells us with that why he writes about the fish dying. Isn't it obvious? If it's blood, they died. No, he's telling us it was real blood. The Daz Kanim learns Pshatis, that it just looked like blood. It wasn't blood. It was the color of blood. Or Voash, and then the fish died and it smelt. It was disgusting. And therefore, it wasn't possible to drink it. If the fish wouldn't have died, they could have drank the water, because it just was the color of blood. It looked like tomato juice. But now that the fish died in it, that made it smell, and now they weren't able to drink it. And he even asks, so if so, there was a separateness of the fish dying. So why is the maka called dam? It could have been called after the fish dying. So he says it was more nicker. The color is more nicker than the fish dying. But again, it was regular water. The Cheskuni says pshatis, it turned to blood, but just for a short time. And in that short time, the fish died. Afterwards, it turned back to water. But since the fish had already died in it now, now they weren't able to drink from it. Not because it was dam, it was water now. But because of the dead fish in it. And he brings a raya, he says, a famous kasha, which the Rishonim will ask. Afterwards it says, the Chartumim also turned the water into blood. How could they turn the water into blood? Which water did they turn into blood? So he says, according to his pshat, it's very good. Because the water all turned back, the blood turned back to water again. It was just smelling, but it turned to water. So now they took some of that water and turned it into blood. But the Sepharno and the Daz Kainim are arguing. Was the Makev Dam real blood or just looks like blood? We have a very similar machlokes. It says in the Gemara in Sota that Elisha was attacked by youths. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes. Bears came out of the forest and killed the youths. One man almost says was a nes. There was a forest there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made bears in the forest. They killed the youths. The other man almost says, nes pesoich nes. Lo yar hava v'lo dubim. There were no bears and no forest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made instant bears and an instant forest. Then they came out of the forest and killed the youths. Ask the Gemara, lehava dubim v'lo lehava yar. Let there just be bears. Who needs a forest to kill the youths? Answers the Gemara, demivis. They would be afraid. Says Rashi, the bears would be afraid if they didn't have their natural habitat around them. They wouldn't attack the youths. Asks the Marshal, these bears wouldn't be afraid. These aren't regular bears. They may look like bears, they might smell like bears, but by golly, they aren't bears. They're nace bears. Nace bears aren't afraid. Nace bears, therefore, would attack. So he learns different pshat in the Gemara. He learns pshat in the Gemara is, the mivis, they would be afraid, means that the youths would be afraid and they would run away before the bears could kill them. That is how the Marashah learns pshat. What is the machloik between Rashi and the Marashah? That when the Ribbono Shel'olam makes a nes, is the nes a creation of the exact same thing, or is it just an optical illusion? The same machloik as we have here, the Daz Kainim, the Sepharno learns it was real dam. The Daz Kainim says it was water that looked like blood. Is Rashi learned the bears were regular bears, and the Marashah learns they just look like bears, but they're not bears. Similarly, we see that there's a kasha that the Mefarshim will ask, is in Makas Dever, we see that there were no chazerim, no pigs at all. And there's a Mishnah in Bechoris that says that Mitzrayim was famous for its pigs. So how come they didn't die in the Makas Dever? So the Mefarshim answer, there's a Gemara in Tanis Chaf Aleph that says, the stomach of a pig is similar to the stomach of a human. And therefore, if there would be a maka on the pigs, that would carry over to humans, as we all know today, from swine flu. That came from pigs. So since it's similar, it would carry over. Therefore, the pigs couldn't get sick because humans would have died. And this wasn't time for humans to die. Be a second. So the kasha, of course, on that pshat is that these pigs weren't regular pigs. This dever wasn't a regular sickness. And if they would get sick with it, it wouldn't make a difference. It wouldn't carry to other people. It's a nace. The whole sickness is a nace. What's it got to do with a regular sickness? But their learning pshat is that when the sickness comes, it comes in the same way as a regular sickness. And a regular sickness can travel. This sickness would also travel, similar to what we were saying earlier. It so happens Reb Chaim Kanievsky answers this kasha very differently. He answers the kasha with a Me'iri in Tanis. The Me'iri in Tanis says that when it says the stomach of a chazir is similar to a human, it doesn't mean a chazir. Chazir means a goy. A goy's stomach is similar to a yid's stomach. You shouldn't think it's any different. That's how he understands the Gemara. So therefore, the kasha doesn't start. In this week's parasha, we have, it's good, we have a few minutes left. They came a few minutes late, so I think I can go a few minutes. The pasuk says, Vishal ben Haknanis, in the list of names over here. In the list of names of Bnei Shimon, one of the names was Shaul ben Haknanis. So it's difficult to understand how we see in Tanakh that you have Shaul, the Melech, given that name when you're not allowed to name after a Shoim. And the Gemara tells us that Shaul ben Haknanis was Zimri ben Salu, one Sanhedrin Chaf Beis. So how is it possible that Shaul HaMelech was given this name? There's a Tosis in Ksubas, Daf Kuf Dalet, that mentions there Tana, Chanon ben Avshalim, and Rabbeinu Tam says the name cannot be Avshalim. They never would have named a Tana after Avshalim. Therefore the name is, you have to change the gears, it's Avshalim. It's a slightly different name. It's Osa Likros B'Shem Rasha. So how could Shaul HaMelech be named after Zimri ben Salu? So one pshat is, if there's a tzaddik with the same name, so therefore there's a tzaddik with the same name, then you're allowed to name after the Rasha as well, because you're not naming after the Rasha. And in Parshas Vayishlach, we see there's the name Shaul as well. There's one of the Melochim there called Shaul, and Shaul Merechoivis, and he was Mechasidei Umas Olam. And therefore, Shaul could be named after him. In Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, he says an unbelievable thing. He says that Shaul, you cannot name after Shaul. He's a Rosha. And you see that Chana wanted to name her son. What did she call him? She called him Shmuel. Ki ma'ashem she'eltif, because I asked him from Hashem. She should have called him Shaul. Why didn't she call him Shaul? She added a mem in the middle. Because you can't name him Shaul. Shaul was a Rosha. So she put the mem in the middle. I will ask Akasha, says the Chasam Sofer. Shaul HaMelech was named. Kish named him Shaul. Look what happened to him in the end. You see, in the end, there was problems in the end because he had that name. You look in the Ralbag, the Pasuk, and this was sweet to me, this, to see this. Because I have a name that I've never met anybody with my name. My name is Menachem Shaul. Never met anybody with that name. And I found a Ralbag says, on the Pasuk Me'asham She'iltif, he should have been called Shaul. Why is he called Shmuel? Says they're not medactic. He couldn't be called. So, but she called him Shmuel instead of Shaul. Similarly, you see, Noach is called Noach. Why? Zeyinachmenu M'maisi Yadenu. He should have been called, he said, Menachem. So instead of calling him Menachem, they're not medactic, called him Noach. So you see in that Ralbalg over there, both Menachem and Shaul in the same pasuk. Good Shabbos.